grows, we may be lewd. We only want what's best for you. We may be wrong and we may say, well, we honestly just want to help. When in doubt, follow your gut. Don't trust our word or our very cool bites. Don't take our word for it, but seriously don't. Don't take our word for it, but seriously don't.
Hey guys, welcome back to another...
Don't take our word for
shit.
It.
Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in for the
episode 4.
Oh, God damn it, stop it. Do you want to do it? You do the intro.
No, I was having fun.
Oh, God damn it.
I like you to do it and for me to just hop in.
Well, let me finish a sentence and then do it.
I'll say the name.
Okay, that's a good idea. All right, okay, here we go. Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in for episode 4 of
Don't Take Our Word for It,
a comedy advice podcast brought to you by the beautiful minds of
and that's it.
Shut up. Brought to you by
I was invited.
Oh my God. Brought to you by Havana
and Anna Smith. It's my name.
It is. You're correct.
Thank you.
Let's start this off with our titular segment, Anxiety Hour.
Anxiety Hour, don't be nervous. Anxiety Hour, don't be... Sorry, it's just a lot of pressure. Where's my bag?
So Havana,
mm-hmm.
What's making you anxious? What's bumming you out? What's giving you the weird vibes?
Or the past couple weeks now, actually, I'm pretty anxious because I'm unemployed, which has not happened to me since I was 15 years old.
Ooh, you're unemployed and recently in LA, too,
yeah.
Right? Like, it's kind of a double whammy.
Yeah, and it's a bummer. It's like the one time I'm unemployed is the most inconvenient location and time to be doing it. but I was working this kind of like horrible job and it ended up, you know, I had plans to quit because I'm going on a trip at the end of the month. And I was like planning to put my 2 weeks in so it timed perfectly for when I was leaving town. But then I got in a fight with one fist of the fight. Managers, a fist fight. I ripped her face off. And I fed it to one of the chefs. He made a nice...
Well, that's sweet.
Face fillet. But yeah, we got into a verbal confrontation. And then she was like, don't raise your voice at me. And I was like,
Oh!
Buckets! I'm not. But... And then I was like, okay, well, that's fine. But I'm gonna go.
Yeah, and also, like, don't raise your voice to me. That's something a... stepmother says to you.
She's definitely an evil stepmother, and also she was raising her voice at me. So and so I guess after she said that, I raised my voice again, and she was like, don't raise your voice at me. And I was like, all right, well, I'm gonna go. And then the other manager was clocking me out, and she started walking down the hall, and she yelled from the end of the hall, and she was like, all right, get out of here, fine, whatever, but if you ever raise your voice at me again, you're going to be terminated or something dramatic like that. She's like, you're going to be terminated immediately. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just quit then. So I just was like, all right, okay, I'll see you later. And by later, I mean never again. So I walked out and I never returned.
Yeah, especially if they're getting constant walkouts, like, they yeah. should rethink some of their what's goings-ons.
I've been doing a lot of job searching, like on all these different sites and stuff, just trying to find another gig. And
what was the interview today?
Oh, I didn't go to that one either. I've been applying to so many jobs, and like the response rate isn't very good. I don't know if people like forget they put the jobs up, or like, Because a lot of them will tell you if they've looked at it or not. And a lot of them just say unread. Like, I'm like, fine, cool. So I have like 100 of those out in the ether. And I think at some point, you know, I would just drink and then I'd just be applying to whatever. And so this one I applied to, I had the interview today, so I did some research on it before I went. And it turned out it was like a corporate restaurant that I would be bartending in. That's like, you know, it's got like hundreds of locations all over the U.S. And it was in a shopping mall, like in some kind of Overland Park hellhole of the valley. Like,
oh,
and
my.
So I was like, I was like thinking about it. I called my dad and I was like, I don't know. Turns out this place is in a mall. Should I go? And he just laughed for 5 minutes and then he was like, no. but then I've been applying to all these jobs and they also have been applying to so many employees on all those same job sites. So like every single job site, they've got like a listing up and it's super desperate. And it's just like, we need to fill every single position in this restaurant immediately. We need to know you're not going to quit in a week. Like, just like, I mean, in so many words, they'd be like, we need someone who's dedicated and not easily angered and can keep a cool under pressure. And like,
oh no, they're having walkouts too.
Exactly. Cause everybody quits there because of how they're being treated or, I know one girl quit because of that, but also the clientele there was just really, really horrible. So, like, they would make people cry all the time with, like, they were super demanding, very unforgiving, and then even if you did, like, the most bang-up job imaginable, it was only ever 10% tip, no matter what. I could have I could have sucked someone's dick, and they would have been like, here's a dollar, sweetie. Thanks.
Well, that's a bummer.
So yeah, job hunting. I mean, walking out. I've never walked out on a job. I've been working service industry since I was 15. Never walked out on a job. I've always put my 2 weeks in, you know, and also I've never been unemployed and I've never had a hard time finding a job. It's just a completely different jungle out here. So
gosh, new place, new time in your life.
Yeah. I'm going to work at a bakery tomorrow though.
Is it like a one-day thing?
No. I'm going to be a baker now, I guess. Because I black out and I just apply to every job. And I guess one of them was a baker position. And they called me on the phone and they were like, so do you have any back of house or like cooking or baking experience? And I was like, no. And they're like, okay, see you Sunday.
Yeah, I did a bartending job where I went in for the interview and I like wore jeans to the interview and then I sat down and it was just one person bartending the whole bar, but they were also the one who was going to be interviewing me. So they just kept being like, hold on, hold on, hold on. And then they came over and their two questions were, okay, do you like beer? It was a beer bar. And I said, no. And they said, okay, do you have a liquor license? And then I said, no. And then they said, when can you start? And that was the entire interview.
Yeah. I love it.
And I worked there for like a year and a half.
It's jobs. At the moment you think they're impossible to get, they're actually the easiest thing to get.
I mean, who knows? I worked for a local coffee place, unnamed, that like it's got such a hostile environment that it had kind of the same thing you were talking about with the job you just left. I was talking to someone who's like bigger and more important than me in life. Like he's an established person. And he said he had applied to that coffee place to be president of the company. They also have really weird titles there.
Yeah.
But he applied to be president. And I guess they're hiring if you're important and not just the thing that I was, which was a weird job. Mm-hmm. I wasn't like jerking people off. It was like, just, it wasn't baristaing is all. But it was like, he said that it was a company in New York that calls and they called and they were basically like, okay, are you good with a completely hostile environment and people yelling at you and, having to deal with a lot of changes immediately and not getting credit for your work? And then he was just like, is this real? and that was to be president of the company.
Yeah. That's terrible. Like, you're supposed to be the head of the snake. Like, is that tail wrapping around and yelling at you?
Yeah, it was a really strange place to work. There were like the benefits out. There were crazy wonderful benefits and then like a terrible everyday environment. So they do things like they would send you to a foreign country on like a completely paid trip to a foreign country. Kind of, it was like they were kind of like the boyfriend who like buys you a super nice car out of the blue, but then expects you to do a bunch of weird stuff and makes you sign a contract and butt plugs and all of that.
Is that a reference to 50 Shades of Grey?
Thank you. It is.
Okay, because I haven't read the book and I haven't seen the movie and I was like, this is so specific.
Yeah, our buddy Ann Cuddy, we're allowed to say her whole name because she's
buddy Ann Cuddy.
She made me see that movie on Valentine's Day with a bunch of gals. Right. And she popped a bottle. I'm so sorry, I'm so off track of your story right now, but it was on the plaza. It was the theater. It was like the $4 theater. It was the middle of the day on Valentine's Day. During the most quiet scene of the movie, she popped a bottle of champagne and the entire theater gasped. And
they were all really proud of her.
Yeah. Well, girl, oy, oy, oy. Maybe I shouldn't have said her name.
one of the jobs I did apply to was like, are you cool with like being super micromanaged? Oh. And I was like, no, nobody is. And they were like, okay, bye.
So they're like, are you cool with just being annoyed all the time?
I think my response, I was trying to like meet them halfway. I was like, I'm okay with anything as long as you like are nice to me. And they didn't like that.
And they were like, they were ew, like, nice, bye.
We would never. That's right. But Anna, what are you anxious about this week?
Oh, gosh. You know, what is there not to be anxious about? I feel like that would be...
That might be an easier
question. Yeah, in this past, like, week and change, it might be easier to discuss, like the list would be smaller of things to not be anxious about.
That's true.
I personally, just from we're having a rough time right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I've hit some points of weakness myself. Since the 9th specifically, of November, where I've had two instances of internet weakness, and they kind of give me anxiety. I mean, they don't give me as much anxiety as my cat, but I've talked about that cat so much that I feel like I shouldn't talk about it anymore. But I've had, so I trolled one person and then I trolled a troll. And the first person, I trolled their own page. They made a post, and then I attacked them. And then later I sent them a message that was like, I'm mad at you. And they were like, what's happening? And I was like, I'm really sorry. I'm very weak right now. And they were like, so am I. And it was fine. And then the second time.
Oh, it worked out. That's crazy.
Yeah, it worked out, I hope. They may have just been being really polite to me.
Yeah.
And then the second time... I just, you know, we all get weak, right? I don't know how everyone else has taken out their feelings right now, but I just, it's two times. At least I didn't like yell at a Starbucks barista or something. You know?
Oh, I saw that video. Oh no.
Wait, I didn't even know that was a video. I was just saying in life people yell at them so much.
Yeah, there's a video where he's like, the guy gets mad because his like drink took too long. And he's trying to claim that it's racism against white people. That's why it's taking so long.
It's because that's real video that's out in the world?
And he's in there for like the video is like a good 10 minutes or something. And it's just he's really loudly trying to make and aggressively trying to make the argument that the baristas are taking too long with his drink because they're racist against white men.
No,
and then
I
the end of it, he's threatening to fight somebody.
No, you can't throw that at me right now. Are you serious? That's a real video?
That's a real video.
Does he fight someone?
No, he's like an old white guy. Of course he doesn't.
Oh my God.
He you know, whips his dick out, and then when the party's getting started, it gets all soft. You know what I'm saying? I'll talk.
I do know.
But anyway, please will you please read? Can you read any of it or highlights from these arguments that you've had?
Yeah, I won't, just because the first one was like, it was the first one I trolled like a friendly acquaintance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like I won't go into that one. Also, because I'm the one that looks stupid in that one. Therefore, I deleted all of it. Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Because, you know, I'm only interested in sharing with the world the ones where I maybe look less stupid.
This is your podcast. You have the right to do that.
Exactly. Thank you very much. The second one I trolled, the first one was me just trolling. Like, yeah. Someone made up their own post on their own page, and then I very, just leaking with passive aggression commented on it. That was just like, well, it's too bad that people, implying people like this person, didn't act this way and do this. And it was so passive aggressive. And they were just like, whoa, mama. What is the what here?
Yeah.
And then later I messaged them and I was like, I'm mad about this. And they were like, we all are. So we had a nice talk.
That's good. That's probably the best case scenario that's happened in the United States.
The second scenario, though, I didn't even know was entirely political. I didn't. It was just something where I was just, my patience, my tolerance, it was at a real low.
Mm-hmm.
And my boyfriend had posted on his own page a status update. He was watching Saturday Night Live with Dave Chappelle. So I guess you could say, because there were a lot of political under and overtones to that.
Mm-hmm.
But he just, 2 minutes in, it was 10:32, which is when it airs over here in the central time zone.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
He posted, already amazing, hallelujah, #SNL. So it's because of the cold open, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's-her-face sang the song by, what's his name? You know
McKenna.
What I mean?
R.I.P. Caitlin McKenna?
There we go. Kate McKinnon and Leonard Cohen. Yeah. And it was a whole thing.
It was good.
So a couple people responded to that. One person was like, I teared up. It was wonderful. Another person was like, I was too scared to watch it just because I'm so anxious right now, but I'm going to watch it. This sounds great. Jared said that he loved it. He said it was great and it was sad. And then out of nowhere, this person that I've never met and didn't know who he was said, quote, this was the worst cold open in SNL history.
Ugh.
Which, like, you know, I could have let it go. I could have. Which would have been the mature thing to do. But it was just, you know, it was on Jared's I texted Jared before I made it, and I was like, who is this person? He was like, I only know him through an improv network. I've never met him in person.
Which is mostly like misinformed white men.
Exactly.
Improv networks everywhere. Yeah.
By the way, apparently he lives in LA, so hope you run into him.
Hold on. I'm going to put these dogs out.
Okay. I'm going to pour more wine.
Hey, Terry, come here.
Oh, Havana's gone. I miss her so much.
You guys stay.
She'll never know, though.
No her jumping around.
No wiggly waggling.
Gross.
Okay, are you still there?
Oh, hi. Yeah. Hi.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
So it was just a bunch of, it was Jared's thing. He just posted his own feelings, which is fine. And he didn't seem to have a problem with this person either. So he had posted positive feelings, other people responding positively, and then someone just came to just, like, poop on the party. And that was what I had the problem with. I don't really care that someone didn't like something. I wasn't in the mood to deal with someone who just had to say, like, no, I'm here to ruin this.
Yeah.
So I responded to it just smug as a little smuggler.
Smug as a slug.
And I said, was this a joke? Or is it that important to you to insult people relating and enjoying something just because you personally weren't into it? That's what I said.
I think that's very good.
Because, well, it's like, it's kind of good, but it's also so smug and so like, wah, wah, wah. And also, well, I could have just let it go. And I probably would have if I weren't just so impatient. Right?
I don't know. I think people keep doing stuff like that because people keep letting them get away with it.
Yeah.
Like, Like, if everybody called out somebody who was just, like, shitting on other people's parades, if you, like, grabbed their wrist and were like, hey, man, chill the fuck out. Like, we're having a good time. Sorry you aren't. But that's none of my business. So.
Yeah.
I won't come to your house and try to make you feel good. And don't come to my house and try to make me feel bad.
Yeah, I'll never go to your house and try to make you feel good. I never go to anyone's house. So Jared had just responded to that and just said, nailed it. But then this person, this individual, responded twice. And he said, no, it's an honest assessment of soulless pandering. Anna, why are you so full of hate? And then he came back on again before I responded. And he said, I made a statement on the show. You need to learn to adult. So he made a double response there, which is fine. He was just like, you know, I didn't know it was going to happen. I just had to put my feelings out into the world. Maybe he would have just taken it. Maybe he would have ignored it. Maybe he would respond. So then I, just because I couldn't, just because it was my time to just be it low in my heart. And you know what I mean? I wasn't keeping track of myself. I responded to that. And I said, now, soulless pandering seems like a critique and would have made for a much more interesting discussion point than worst in history, especially if it were on your own page or if someone had asked. Bummer. And then I said, ugh, we can agree on one thing, though. I do need to learn to adult. Ignoring trolls takes a certain maturity that I clearly don't have at the moment. Just dripping with smugness, right? Just pause. It's just so just you can just hear me jerking off all over this. Just the sounds of it. And I'm just getting, just to add to just my just inflating of whatever is causing me to do this, I'm getting so many likes. My first one got 10. My second one got 5, which is a lot for me. I don't have a lot of friends for obvious reasons. he's getting no likes. It's beautiful. And then he responds to that and he says anime and he spells it like the animation, then my name, cause my name is Anime Smith, but he spells it A-N-I-M-E. So maybe he was speaking into a Bluetooth or maybe he thought it was,
or maybe he's like a fucking idiot.
I don't know. But he said, anime, use this as a teachable moment. Try asking someone what they need before you act like an asshole. Then he came back again and made another comment and said, also, you should get to know the fact that you, also, you should get to know that you are in fact the troll. You were the one who couldn't handle someone else's opinion. Grow the fuck up, you child. No one has patience for your kind of person anymore. You are the problem. Get the fuck over yourself.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Which, it was very, and that's the point when other people started commenting, and it really became a gang up on this person, which I'm not proud of, but also felt so good.
I'm proud of it.
He spelled patience incorrectly, so my ex-roommate, all he commented on was just patience spelled correctly with an asterisk, or whatever, asterisk. And then another person came on and said this was the this was the worst comment in the history of the internet. and then I said, this is when I just started, like, I got home from work and I was looking at that comment and looking at the comments after it and I just started laughing. So I just wrote, like, ha ha ha, damn. And I wrote, you're, like, super mad at me for defending my boyfriend's status update. And then I wrote, teachable moment then. What is it that you need? Because he said before that I should ask someone what they need. I don't know.
And yeah, that doesn't make any sense. It's like, what? So he comments and he's like, worst SNL open in history. And then you, like, message him and you're like, are you okay? Do you need to talk? Like, what is this really about? What do you need right now?
Yeah.
Like, emotionally, that this beautiful cold open is like damaging your life right now.
I know. Like, and then,
do you need a fucking chill pill? Is that what he's fucking mean?
I think that's exactly what he needs.
Smoke some fucking weed and go to bed, you piece of shit.
And it was all, like, he's kind of right in that, like, don't get me wrong, like, I am definitely a troll in this scenario. I'm just the winning one.
Yeah, you're both trolls, but
yeah, but
you're the prettier one for sure.
And then I wrote, I don't think I've ever been cussed at this much in my life. Ha ha ha, it's kind of awesome. Hallelujah.
Did you hashtag it?
I didn't hashtag it. Oh. I just wrote it.
Idiot. I was proud of you.
And then he stopped responding entirely, but because I wasn't able to see it, because I guess he like put some privacy settings on it, but I guess on his own, Jared was just able to see it going through his own newsfeed. He took a picture and posted it to his own page because he wasn't winning the argument over there.
He needed to take it to his people.
He took a picture, and it just said, he wrote the status update, didn't there used to be adults? And then the only picture he showed was that he said this was the worst cold open in SNL history. And then my response, which was this a joke or is it that important to you to insult people relating and enjoying something just because you personally weren't into it?
So which is like a like, super adult response. Like I can literally picture like a teacher at a grade school like bending down to a kid who's like who's like Timmy's fire truck is stupid, and then the teacher leans down and says that exact same thing to that child. Like it's the most mature response to the most like inane, immature, irrelevant comment that could be posted.
It's well, the most mature thing to have done would have been just like, whatever, it's fine. But
no,
I don't
think a non-response is the most mature thing because I think people that don't get called out on their bullshit get to continue to feel super smug about it. Like the reason he posted a screen cap of it on his own page is because no one was on his side and he needed someone to tell him he was right because he was questioning his entire existence.
And that's
the situation we need to put these people in. These fucking assholes, these Trump supporters, these fucking, you know, just entitled white guys. Like, someone needs to grab him by the throat and be like, hey, princess.
What's going on here?
You're not right all the time. Not everyone wants to hear your fucking opinion. You know, like, and yeah. I think you did the most eloquent version of what I've just described.
I mean, usually my response doesn't make sense. Like, when I trolled the first guy, my response, like, half didn't make sense and then was half a clear slap in the face of that guy. So yeah. This time I just lucked out and it made sense. But then it continued a little bit. Because, like, so he posted that screen cap, but it didn't show that he was posting on someone else's thing. And it didn't mm-hmm. show that after that response, he just, like, released all the swears in all the
yeah.
land.
Yeah.
It didn't show
like
any of that.
Like a mature adult would do.
So I just thought it was funny. Like, Jared had texted me that and I just thought it was funny. But then Jared posted it after the comments on the original thing, and he just said nobody was agreeing with him here, so he took it to his own wall and took a picture. And so then homeboy responds.
Oh no.
And it says, "Where non-morons found it hilarious." And then it said, "Jared, does it hurt backing up the stupid? Are you ever going to notice that most people dislike this religion?" And then he came back in
what?
And said, I know.
What?
I don't
What's
know.
What's he talking about?
I know, I don't. And then what? He said, Anna, I 100% no one ever calls you on anything. That's what it said. It was a typo, but that's how smug I'm feeling, that I'm willing to just read his typos out loud.
Oh, please, I would prefer it.
Anna, I 100% no one ever calls you on anything. You display every sign of a typical entitled know-nothing. Which is like, and then he commented again to Jared and just said, "You're a dinosaur." Which I don't know what that means.
This guy's calling you immature and he's literally talking like a child. Like, just read that in a kid's voice. Like, "Jared, you're a dinosaur." Yeah. Like, "Anna, it's obvious you're just an entitled know-nothing." Like, he's literally a kid.
He is, and he's having a breakdown.
I don't even understand. What? You're a religion. What? Yeah. No one likes it.
Well, also, like, the dinosaur thing. Okay, so when you call someone a dinosaur, you're usually saying they're, like, out of touch or old or something, I guess.
Yeah.
But, like, he and Jared are the same age.
Also, like, is this guy religious? Because does he even think dinosaurs exist?
I don't know. Well, he's, I believe he is. He was a, based on his photos that he has posted on the internet, I don't know about his religious, he doesn't post anything about religion, so I don't think he's overtly religious. He is overtly political in that it was many photos of Bernie Sanders after the Clinton loss.
Which is irrelevant.
Yeah. So
it's the most irrelevant thing.
I do. Ugh. I just say so many mean things all the time. I will hold them inside right now.
No,
but
I love
it. That's all I could see from this page. And there were occasionally, there were some posts that would be like, it'd be a picture of women having fun. Like, mm-hmm. just a picture where, like, it looked like women were laughing. And mm-hmm. then it would say, ugh, we're so oppressed. So, like, if that just kind of gives you an idea. I'm sorry. I'm offending so many people right now for so many different reasons.
Oh, my God.
And But so oh my calls, God. So back to the thing. He calls him a dinosaur. Which it just is out of it just says, you're a dinosaur.
You're a dinosaur, mister.
Then so a lot of Jared's friends start posting different songs about dinosaurs that they're like, can I put this on here? It reminds me to lighten up. Like it's just things, or they're like, I think of you more as the baby from dinosaurs, the not the mama. Like, just, they're having fun, and they keep posting dinosaur stuff, and dinosaur songs. Mm-hmm. and then, so, the guy just puts a picture of Lay's chips up, and where it says the flavor is the salty tears of Hillary supporters, which... To remind you, the opening was just, the where this came from was just an appreciation for Kate McKinnon singing that Leonard Cohen song, which, like, it was a Hillary reference for sure, but that's all it was just someone saying, I liked this.
Yeah.
So it was not necessarily, it was a political, and it was also a, what do you call it when you, I don't know words, when you're like, in remembrance of and it was honoring someone who had died with a political political message, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the status update itself wasn't political, and then that's when it was as soon as he posted that Lay's photo that we were all like, oh, now we get it. This guy, it's been about Hillary this whole time.
Yeah, and I mean probably also because, you know, a woman called him out. Like people like that get really. Their boners get so soft, and then they're really mad at themselves, but they take it out on you.
Yeah. So Jared, he unfriended Jared after that, which is, course, I guess they've never met in person, and mm-hmm. my apologies to all the people whose relationships I'm destroying through reverse trolling. Mm-hmm. I couldn't, and I realize what I'm doing now is putting this argument out onto my own podcast, similarly to the way he was able to shape it to his own on his own page. But I don't care because I don't give any fucks.
You provided all the information. He provided a snippet, the one segment where he kind of maybe it looked even at least. Whereas the rest of it's obviously weighted on his side in a bad way. But you provided all the information. So listeners can make their own decisions about who's an asshole, and that's fine.
And that is fine.
Yours.
And I accept it. I'm not saying I was an angel in this, but it just gave me a lot of, like, it gave me a lot of feelings that felt like anxiety. Most of them were just anxiety about just everything and just like, ugh, what are we all doing? What is this? And then the other thing, it felt like anxiety, but it was mostly just like the happy shakes.
Yeah.
Like, it just gave me this, like, just, I just felt so full of just ego and power.
Yeah. Now, I really do think, I think our anxiety hour experiences this week, we've probably went through the same fight the power adrenaline rush.
That is, this was...
Like, we're not going to stand up to people who are just being assholes to be assholes, like...
Yeah, we weren't necessarily taking stands against... I mean, yours impacted your life in a huge way, but we weren't necessarily taking stands against, like, you know, the man, but we were very much just like, I'm not going to deal with shit anymore.
Yeah, especially in this moment, after this election, like, I feel like every moment in my life from now on is kind of going to be a fight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whether it is or not, or whether I'm perceiving it differently than it should be, but it's just like... I'm mad. I'm so mad.
I know, and I didn't quite expect it.
I'm freaked out, and usually when I get scared, I either cry or throw some punches. So I'd rather do the latter. So, but we should definitely move on to our next segment.
Let's
Thank
do
you
it.
For sharing that with us. Our next
anytime.
Yeah, I'm very proud of you. For the record, fuck that guy. yeah, you know who you are. Let's email this to him. Can we email him this app?
Oh, it'd be beautiful.
That'd be great. I'm gonna send him like a cassette tape in the mail, I think.
Gosh, I will be happy to share all his information that I have.
Good, perfect. All right, guys, it's time for our next segment called Dear Miss Ladies, where we answer all your listener submitted queries.
Dear Miss Ladies, I got a question for you. Won't you save my soul? Please help me.
Jeff asks, So, my addiction is dessert. In order to avoid certain death from diabetes and heart failure, I have been sober for 11 months. Way to go, Jeff. That's a lot of months to me. However, tomorrow is a work potluck and dessert competition. I am scared I might slip into my old ways and start snorting lines of all of the cheesecake. Help. gosh, and then because we got to this later than his dessert day, he did provide a picture, and boy, is it the longest table of dessert I've ever seen in my entire life. Yeah.
I don't have diabetes or heart condition, but I think if I had been there, I would have died.
Yeah, for sure. I've never seen so much dessert in my entire life. I've never even seen a table this long, let alone a table this long just covered in dessert.
It's on some like red wall feast level shit.
Yeah, know? This is absolutely, this looks like.
Was he at Hogwarts?
Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Oh my god, did we just say Hogwarts at the same time? We did not. We did not.
We did. Yeah.
This is the greatest day of my life. Amen.
Oh my god.
The end.
I just
jizzed.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. well, gosh, it's a shame that his dessert day was November 16th, and it is now November whatever today is.
19th.
So Jeff's dead now. RIP.
Jeff's dead. We weren't able to help him, but for everyone still alive.
Yeah.
We can answer.
Here. My feelings about it. If you think you have the ability to handle a cheat day without ruining your whole thing, go for it. If you don't, call the fuck in sick. I don't care. Like, this is real for you. And that's dessert addiction, sugar addiction, stuff like that. If that's your real battle.
That's a real thing. That's a real thing.
An absolutely real thing that it makes you really sick and it gives you the shits and you have a lot of problems. Like, if it's, I mean, Jeff didn't say that, but I'm just saying, someone I know poops a lot. Anyway. But it's real. Just, if you don't have, if you, and, you know, no judgment for sure, because I could never go 11 months without a dessert. I can't go 11 minutes without a fucking Chips Ahoy, but, shout out to my roommate who provides me with so many cookies.
Does he know who he's providing those?
He didn't at first, and now he does forever and ever. but I'd say definitely if you don't have the willpower to handle one cheat day, then stay home. And that's like saying, like, oh, you're an alcoholic, and today is get drunk at work day. Like, don't do it. Stay home.
Yeah.
Call in sick.
Yeah. I
don't care how important
advice.
Your fucking job is. If it's that important, they shouldn't have dessert day.
Quit fucking around and
yeah.
Build a castle. That's probably the job. But, yeah, I would say avoid going at all. Or, you know, God, 2016, there's a lot of substitutes you can get if maybe you could find, like, a sugar-free dessert.
Yeah.
And just bring your own and be like, hey, not to be an asshole, but I'm going to eat all this by myself because I can't handle whatever you guys have fucking brought to murder me with. Like, so I would say don't show up or bring your own substitute that you know you're going to enjoy. But isn't necessarily going to impact you negatively.
Yeah.
A sugar-free Red Bull.
Cake. And have a great day of just headaches and just weird diarrhea.
Yeah. Our next question was sent in anonymously on our Tumblr page, which you can submit anonymously to at donttakeourwordforit.tumblr.com. And Anonymous says, I absolutely hate my boss. He is rude and condescending and completely oblivious. How do I get through the day without killing him?
Oh, that's so hard.
We kind of already talked about it a little bit, but walk out on your job is a solution.
Yeah, that's what I've heard so far pretty much wins it, is just walk out.
Walk out. You'll find a different one where people don't treat you like that. I think that at this point in my life is my favorite choice because it's the choice I've recently made and I need affirmation that I did the right thing. but I think alternatively, you can find a lot of solace, I think, in your coworkers.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you have a cool bunch of coworkers, you can get through a lot of shit with your shitty boss. You know, like, it kind of gives you something to, like, commiserate about, and it's kind of like a really, you know, maybe not healthy, but some sort of team-building exercise where you all try to, like, not murder your boss together.
Yeah.
Or maybe plan to murder him.
Planned a murder,
her,
you know?
Or her. Who knows? But
yeah, I mean, I feel like just as a person who doesn't get along with anyone ever, I've had a lot of problems with bosses. And I'm most happy when I just move on, typically. Yeah. Like, right now I'm in a position where I feel like I've got 100 jobs right now. Two of them, I mean, one of them I joined and I love the boss there. She's amazing. And then the other one I joined because the boss was already my friend and I love him. And then the third one, I just never see the boss and I don't know much about them at all, so...
Yeah,
I'm in a cool position right now, but I am coming from a history of job after job after job of just crazy people. And I'd say just unless it's your dream job in which just hang out with your coworkers, but just fucking ditch it.
Yeah, I mean, the job market is terrible and I'm definitely having a really hard time. Like, it's been a couple weeks now and of me applying every single day. All day long, and I haven't, you know, really nailed anything down yet. But I do not regret my decision. I don't for a second wish I had just, like, sucked it up and stayed, you know, met their unreasonable, like, request to just, like, to bend to the rules they made up 2 seconds ago. Like, you know, I had put up with so much since I started working there. Like, just every day was, like, another fucking... some more bullshit to add to the list of things that I felt were, that I was being attacked for, that I was being mentally abused with, like, verbally abused with, like...
Yeah.
Like, if you're in that situation, like, unless there's a fucking end game, you know, like, mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of, like, of a corporate situation, like, okay, maybe if you hang in there 6 more months, then you'll actually get to be, like, you know, you'll get promoted, and then you'll be in a completely different department and having to, you know... deal with a different boss. But I mean, the job market's shitty and it's garbage, but it's like, you're gonna die. We're all gonna die. And
we are.
You don't wanna look back and be like, oh, I spent X amount of my good years at a place that made me cry in the bathroom.
Yeah.
At a place that made me anxious to go to work. At a place
that's beautiful.
That made me worried that I wasn't going to be treated like a person that day. Like, that's not okay or right. Just get out of there. Something else is going to happen. I think most people I know have a support system that if you made a big decision like that and you're like, fuck it, I'm not putting up with this anymore, and you got out and you couldn't find a job, like I don't wanna go move in with my mom, but I don't think she would hesitate to be like, fuck yeah, like, come live with me till you figure it out. You know, I think people, or your friends, or, you know, and there's organizations that can help you find a job, you know, especially if you're in an underprivileged minority group, or, you know, there's organizations that are out there to help you to find that work and to support you, you know, from a from that kind of circumstance. It's not impossible. Don't think you're trapped.
Yeah, never. I couldn't co-sign that enough. That's, unless this job is something where it's just like, this is really fulfilling to you in a way that's more than
week to week paychecks.
But it's not. Exactly. Nothing,
you can't be fulfilled the way you should be if someone is constantly shitting on you.
Yeah. And I'd say my biggest regrets are always, I have trouble leaving things for whatever reason, for guilt or for thinking that it'll get better or whatever. That's some of my biggest regrets come from just not, you know, I mean, like, hashtag no regrets or whatever, like, blah, blah, blah. But if I had,
but,
like...
But hashtag 1,000 regrets.
Yeah. I mean, jobs have a lot, just sticking around at jobs where I should have just said no and just taken the risk and jumped and moved. Or people I should have broken up with and just taken the risk. Or just environments in my life that were toxic and I should have just left immediately. Like, those are my...
Yeah.
Those are where my biggest... you know, points of stress or points of just like, I really could have done something there. So just, yeah, don't let that.
Don't.
I agree. I think, I mean, there was no better way to put it than what you just said. We're going to die.
And like soon.
Yeah. I mean, especially in the scope of anything.
Of very time. Soon. Yeah. In place. Yeah. Well, and also it's like, okay, that's an ideal situation. You die when you're 80. Or something, and you're healthy and you're fine, but you've just drift off because Jesus comes and takes your hand in the night. That's an ideal situation that probably won't happen. You're probably going to die before you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to live too long, and it's going to be terrible. So you just, like, while you're young and while you're able-bodied and while, you know, before we enter the fascist regime at 100%, you know.
Oh, my God.
get out of there, you know. I think it's a big comparison, but I mean, like, Trump possibly being the, like, boss of our country, you know. Like, yeah. No one's putting up with it.
Yeah.
Nobody's putting up with it. So follow the lead of the liberal United States and don't fucking sit for it.
Yeah, and it's not even just the liberal. It's almost just like just the general majority.
Well, I guess I'm speaking everyone who's not a Trump supporter.
Yeah.
Because all the Trump people are very, they love their shitty boss and they just want to go on a hunting trip and jerk each other off, you know?
Like, yeah. And some people just want to give it the old wait and see.
Yeah. But, you know, but there's so many people in the world that are setting such a prime example of how we should live our lives and how we should always try to be in control of them and how we should always try to get ourselves the best for ourselves and for the people in our lives that we care about and for the people that are underprivileged or aren't able to represent themselves like they should be able to. So, so if you let someone shit on you, you're an asshole.
Let's just call everyone who asks this advice.
Everybody's an asshole. You know, the best way to not be an asshole is to believe in yourself and to believe in yourself. You can't let other people not believe in you. So,
side anecdote that will hopefully put a little fire under your butthole about just how definitely our bodies are decaying and we're dying. The other night, one of my eyes stopped working completely.
You went blind?
It was the scariest. I'm going to sound crazy, but it's fine. I went blind in one eye for about 3 minutes, but only in the dark. let me, okay, here we go.
What the fuck?
I was laying in bed.
Why is this not your anxiety hour? You went blind?
Hold on. I want you out there, Anonymous, with your problem, to understand that our bodies are falling apart and we're dying. I'm in my 20s, but I was laying in bed. I was looking at a video, like, it was, all the lights were turned off. I was just, you know, when you're looking at your phone before bed, like a healthy person. I was looking at my phone, I was watching a video. I shut it off, put it away, and then, like, it was dark, of course, because it was night. I was going to bed, but there was enough, you know, light was coming in through the window, like that little bit of light from the parking lot, like, and I had been laying on my left side, and I kind of got up, and I felt weird, like, I felt like my right eye was closed, or I felt like I'd been laying on my right side, so I didn't understand what was happening, because I just had this weird, even though it was very dark in my room, one side felt too dark.
I hate this.
No, this is really the scariest thing that's ever happened to me, and I don't know. I can't remember other scary things. I'll try and remember them later. But I've told a couple of people about it this week, and they were all just like, eh, or they were all just like, yeah, I've had headaches this week. And I was like, wait. But anyway, so I was looking around, and so I couldn't figure out what was happening at first. I thought maybe I was just laying weird or something, and then I realized I wasn't laying on the side that I was having a problem with. So I closed my right eye, I saw the light coming in from the window. I closed my left eye, I saw nothing. It was so scary. I started panicking. I blinked a bunch of times. I kind of pulled at my eyelids and, like, my, you know, the lower, like, the cheeks around my eye. I was so scared. My eye was feeling kind of, it was weirdly numb in that area.
Oh my
I didn't know
God.
What was happening. I started panicking. I started trying to find my glasses. Of course, I couldn't find them because, one, it was dark. Two, I need glasses. Three, I was blind in one eye. So I couldn't find them. So I stumbled to the bathroom, turned on the light, could see out of both eyes.
Fucking weird.
So I stared in the mirror, and I was thinking maybe one of my eyes just wasn't dilating. And so in the dark, I wasn't seeing very well. So I shut off the lights in the bathroom, and then I got my face super close to the mirror, and I turned them on to, like, see if they could dilate. First, I was scared because I kept thinking I was seeing Bloody Mary. I was so scared. But I turn on the lights, and both my eyes look the same. So I don't know what's happened. I need to go to a doctor because even now that eye, even though I can see out of it, like, blinking from side to side, I can see out of it fine. It feels weird.
Yeah,
it maybe it's paranoia. I don't know. Maybe it was just one weird thing that happened. But I've never gone blind before, and it was so scary. So anyway, our bodies are falling apart. We're dying. You need to quit your job.
All right. It is time for our next segment called Unsolicited, where we bring a person from the past to come and kind of talk to us. To come and talk to us about some of their problems that they've had.
Look with your eyes, that's eyesight. You look with your brain, and that's mindsight. You look at your own butt, that's behind sight. You look at the past to see what you could change. Well, you know what they call that? That's hindsight. This is hindsight.
And here with us today, we have Henry Tandy. Welcome, Henry. How are you?
Hello there, Havana.
And me. I'm here, too. My name's Anna.
And Anna. Havana and Anna.
It's so good to have you here, Henry. Why don't you tell us and some of the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, I fought for the Brits in World War I.
Ooh!
And yes. It's quite thrilling. War is something you women might never understand.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully not.
I have no intention.
We know Twitter wars, you know, and Facebook wars. So that's maybe you'll never understand that.
Ah, birds that give you messages of quite sadness.
Quite sadness.
Quite sadness. Yeah, I'm glad I don't have to get news of, like, family members' death via pigeon.
Or... Yeah, whatever you guys are up to, Jeffrey, Tandy. What's your name?
Henry Tandy.
Yeah. Henry, please tell us
mispronouncing the first letter.
Oh, Henry Tande.
Sure.
So Henry, you came on today because, you know, you had some issues in the past and, you know, you were kind of hoping that maybe we could help you out. So why don't you, you know, hit us up. What's going on?
It was great controversy that people seemed to be upset at me for not seeing into the future of problems and sparing a life. Because I could not kill in cold blood.
Well, sparing a life, that seems like a kind thing to do. You spared a life, that seems, you know?
Yes, one would assume it is the right thing to do, not to kill a man in cold blood.
Yeah, that sounds like the only option. Why did this go wrong?
The man I spared, I guess some history, I guess. I was in the trenches with my LaBelle and Bertha 8mm. It's a rifle.
Of course it is.
And I was on my hands and knees, and as I looked down into the trenches, there was no music at this time. Usually people are singing during war, and it was silence. It was utter silence. Almost a chilling silence. I look down and I see a man that some later we have found out is Adolf Hitler.
Oh, you saw Hitler in World War I in a trench?
Wounded. Yes, he was quite down.
Did he have a weapon?
No weapon. Very vulnerable.
You saw a wounded, vulnerable Hitler with no weapon.
Yes, and mind you, this was World War I.
The first one. Okay.
Hitler was... He was just a guy.
An artist, some might say.
Put into the trenches, you know, hooey-looey, you know, what's the word?
Nope, that wasn't it. Whatever it is, it's not that.
Louie, I believe it's a song.
How do you know that song?
Well, excuse me.
Okay, so you see Hitler in a trench, all right.
Okay, so you shoot him. That's not that's not the person you spared. It's not Hitler.
Well, one would assume that I shot him, but I did not.
Wait, so remind me, World War I, we're talking Prussia?
Prussia?
Prussia with a P? Oh. Is that right?
I thought you were giving Russia a fun nickname.
Were England and Germany mad at each other then, too?
Everyone was always mad at Germany.
Yes, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Was Prussia still there?
Don't ask me. I was a soldier.
Oh, of course. Okay, so you see a German soldier who happens to be Adolf Hitler in a trench. Wounded, bummed out, I assume just beyond belief.
What? Down on his luck.
What's the exchange?
Yeah, tell us.
Was it just an eye glance? Did you guys have a conversation? Like, what led you to sparing his life?
Well, as I mentioned, I was down on all fours. I was crawling through the trenches, and even lower than the trenches, there was a ditch. It looked like he had slid and maybe fractured an ankle or a small bone in his foot. And... He looked at me with those big puppy dog eyes.
Sure, the classic Hitler puppy dog look.
Yes. We're all familiar with those seducing eyes we've seen at a bar. Or a gastropub, whatever you call it now.
Mm-hmm. A beer garden.
Bargarten. Forgive me, I'm not German.
Specifically, and sure.
He looked at me and he said no words, none that I could understand.
Tell us more.
I'm sorry. It brings up so much. I feel such guilt and such shame. It's carried with me for so long.
Do you want a tissue? Here's a...
Sure, you're talking World War I and it's 2016. Boy, Henry, you really went for it.
All better.
Yeah, I'll just throw that. I'll just throw that away for you.
All better.
Well, so what is? So you spared Adolf Hitler's So you spared Adolf Hitler's life in his most poised time for death. So what is your question for us? What have you come here? What's, like, been racking you? Like, how...
Should I have done my duty and killed a soldier who does not have a weapon in a ditch with puppy dog eyes that later turns out to be Hitler and kills maybe 20 million Jews? Is there any foreshadowing? Could I have found, like, is there a trait that you see in someone saying that person might do genocide? Just do it.
When you're looking at him in a ditch, unarmed.
I'm really thinking, you know, this is pretty relevant right now because I'm sure there was a moment, maybe possibly every moment of Donald Trump's life where he's been vulnerable because he's a fat slug of a man.
Mm. Sure.
And no one has moved on it. So I don't think you're alone.
We're not talking one Hitler. We're talking a group of Hitlers. You know, old Stevie Bannon. Old Mikey Pence.
We've got a gaggle of Hitlers on our hands.
Yeah.
And I, at some point, at least metaphorically, somebody's looked at them lying in a ditch, unarmed, and chose not to murder them.
Or you could say you have maybe 60 million Henry Tandies. All these Henry Tandies, and 20 years later, they'll be like, I was in a room with him and my musket. And I didn't shoot.
So are you...
You know, this also... Go ahead.
No, you go. It's your time.
No, I don't want to.
Are you saying that we should all... Are you really wanting us here to all relate to your position in order to feel empathy? And say, we're all basically a bunch of Henry Tandies.
Well, aren't we? We're all Henry Tandies. We are.
I mean, you are.
We've all been in a moment where you could kill someone, you could strangle a bad guy, and you didn't. You let him go and ride the subway. You've seen a man run away with someone's purse, and you didn't... kill him in cold blood, you let him go.
I have never seen that.
I've actually not seen that myself either.
I've never seen that. What was I going to say? Oh, this kind of brings up the question, too, is, like, if you know, like, there's a couple of movies about it, too, where it's like, okay, you know this child is the devil. Like, literally, this is Lucifer incarnate, and you know it's, but it's like a three-year-old kid. So what do you do?
Sure.
Would you stab a child?
It happened.
Cut a kid's head off?
Well, yeah, if it's just a weak child. I will say something.
They're constantly vulnerable.
Gosh, I don't know if you'll know, Henry, just because I'm not sure where we got you from in the past, but your culture has produced a prolific program called Doctor Who. Recently discussed the idea. You run into a crazy genocidal dictator when they're a baby or a little kid, and you have the chance to just straight up kill them. What do you do?
Ah, is this like the movie the Butterfly Effect?
Do you only watch movies with Ashton Kutcher in them?
Ah, yes, Ashton Kutcher.
You know,
a great actor.
What I would say is that if you had killed Hitler in this time, you would have never known what would have come next, and no one would have ever known, possibly, and then no one would have ever learned. But clearly no one has learned already.
Then Henry Tandy's Wikipedia page would say, murderer!
Who else? Did you kill anyone else in the trenches? Did you kill all the other Germans and then just let this one schmo live?
Oh, no, 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 no. Never anyone I could see. No one's face. If I saw their face, I couldn't kill them. So.
Isn't the thing that if you see the whites of their eyes, that's when you should be shooting?
That was...
It's like your gun didn't work well enough to work out of that range.
That was a different time.
In that time period.
That was the Revolutionary War.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm. That was the 1700s.
Henry, tell us.
Yeah,
Henry. Well, what was the range of? What was the exact range of your weapon?
We had flamethrowers.
So you could have started that dude on fire.
Yeah, that's pretty. His face would have melted off, and you wouldn't have had to look at it.
Yes, I mean, I personally did not have a flamethrower in this situation.
Oh.
No.
Did you only have fisticuffs?
No, I had a rifle.
Oh,
what was the style again?
It was like, God, I remember it so vividly.
So, are you asking us, should you have killed him? Should you have killed Hitler?
Yeah.
Probably.
Well, you two both seem to agree on the idea that you would kill a small child if you had known he was the devil because they are so vulnerable.
So they're just I didn't say I agree.
I just said it's easy to kill a kid.
Sometimes it's like I want to kill a child just because it would be easy.
Now it sounds like you might need advice from Henry Tandy here.
Please, Henry, give me advice about my child murdering fantasies.
Just don't. Just look into their eyes. It's impossible to kill someone with the glisten of their eyes shimmering back into yours.
So was it the puppy dog eyes that did it for you?
Ah, yes.
Or just seeing a person face to face?
No. His eyes specifically were rather large.
Betty Davis eyes, if you will.
Oh, I get that a lot. Maybe I'm the next Hitler.
But people won't kill you.
You don't know that. I live in Los Angeles now. It's up in the air.
I mean, you could get some real rando stuff happen to you.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, Henry, I think if I was in your position, I probably wouldn't have, I don't know, but it was like your job. Like, you were at war. You were there to kill Germans. Right? Like, I wouldn't go to, you know, my work, my job as a secretary and refuse to, like, answer the phone because the softness of other people's voices made me weep. Like,
well, Havana, that is where you're wrong. You are not a secretary. You are unemployed.
Damn.
Oh, shit. Oh, Henry.
Tandy.
God, you couldn't kill Hitler, but you could really kill the vibes here.
You could really kill my spirits. You didn't have any problem shooting my spirits in the face. Why'd you let Hitler live?
Oh, shit.
I was forced to register to war. My job was to go. I was to go and attend war every day.
So you weren't excited about being in that situation?
No, but every time we did win ground, if we had gained miles, well, set up new camp miles ahead, and they had died for us to do that, we would celebrate and get rather drunk.
So you like that part?
Oh, yes.
So you could have shot Hitler in the face and gotten wasted.
Ah, but shooting Hitler before he's actually Hitler.
You didn't even know his name when he was in the ditch. He was just big-eyed baby.
Well, you could assume it was Adolf based on how many Adolfs there were in Germany.
But didn't know his name. Did he say his name? Did he say, I'm Adolf, don't do it. Look into my sweet baby eyes.
Is that what he said?
I mean, he could have said that all silently. It felt like that's what he was saying to me.
Did he say, I'll unease you and I'll tease you, all the better just to please you? That's how that song Betty Davis eyes goes. I'm sorry.
I don't believe he said those words.
Maybe that came later.
After you were walking away and his hand reached after you and he whispered those words in German to himself.
Do you know if Adolf's ankle ever healed?
Oh, gosh. I think he walked with a limp.
Oh, that's good to know. That makes me feel better.
You didn't cause him to hurt his ankle, did you?
Oh, no. God, no.
But you didn't fix it.
You lazied out on every way here. You know, really what it is here, Henry, is that you could have shot Hitler in the face, or you could have shown him some real human kindness and fixed his ankle, which may have put his faith back in the earth world Jews, and really solved a problem, but you just did nothing.
I don't think we're giving you advice at this point. We're criticizing you.
Oh, what I meant was, be cool and you're fine.
Cool.
Well, yeah, I guess my advice is, I think most people would have done exactly what you would what you did in this situation. If they were in a war that they didn't want to be in, I don't think they would have. No one wants to kill anybody if they don't absolutely have to.
Oh yeah, an unarmed person.
I think you did the right thing.
Come on,
unarmed. You didn't know who it was. You didn't know who that person was going to become. Like, you thought, it's like when you hold the door open for somebody and you're like, oh, my karma card is so full for the day. You know what I mean? Like, you walked away from that man going, you know, now I'm gonna get a blowjob tonight because of the kindness I've showed the universe.
Why are you so sure it was Hitler?
Because Hitler later thanked me in a speech saying, I thank the British soldier, Henry Tandy.
Fuck, dude.
Who, I guess he could read my jacket. He could read my coat.
And he's got big eyes and very good vision.
I was very close.
It's because of those big-ass eyes.
He read my name. He thanked me. He said, thank you, Tandy. The man who looked me in the eyes and did not shoot. Spared my life so I could kill millions of others.
That was one of his more beautiful... You know, he was known as such a great speaker. That was one of his more beautiful speeches.
Ah, yes. Mussolini was a great speaking coach for him.
The deuce.
All right. Well, I hope that maybe we've hopefully eased your discomfort about the situation a little bit.
Yeah, dude, you're
but we're
cool.
Gonna go ahead. We're gonna go ahead. We're gonna go ahead and move on to our next segment called Unsolicited. And this is a segment where we kind of give rapid fire advice to questions that nobody asked us.
It's time for Unsolicited. We gotta go fast, so you better be listening.
Unsolicited. Yep.
Anna, do you want to start us out?
Yeah.
We'll just go round table.
Oh. Unsolicited, watch The Tribe. It's on YouTube. The site or the channel is The Tribe Official. It's a show from New Zealand from the late 90s, early 2000s that no one watches but me, and no one will talk to me about it. So watch it and talk to me because I love it so much.
Okay, my unsolicited, don't go out in public because men will approach you. my friend Brittany and I went out to a open mic the other night. And within, like, 5 minutes, three different men had come up to us and been like, are you new here? Are you going up tonight? Are you guys professional comedians? And then one guy, like was trying to force Brittany to show him her, like, notebook with all her jokes in it. It was the worst.
Pew!
So, if you're a lady, don't go out in public because you'll only become unhappy. what about you, Henry?
Live with no regrets. I feel like most people should just live without any regrets, no matter what the circumstance. Who you kill, who you don't kill, you should not regret any minute of it.
Solid.
Your turn, Anna.
Don't freak out at your family right now when stuff is weird. My family, I witnessed them get into a Facebook fight with each other, and it was so stupid. Just deal with it. They're your family. Don't let what's happening right now civil war your family over Facebook. That got real.
I'll follow it up with something not real. Don't go to a pho shop if you have misophonia.
What the fuck does that mean?
Misophonia is like a disorder where you're kind of like really sensitive to certain noises and it sends you into a blind rage.
Uh-oh.
So for me, it's like chewing and slurping.
Ooh, yeah.
Which like like genuinely anger me. Like I never as angry as I am when I'm hearing someone slurp something. And so I was waiting for my date at the pho shop, which was Brittany. I'm just always going on dates with Brittany. And the guy next to me was like probably actually Vietnamese, and so he was probably eating it 100% correctly, but it just was like the most slurpiest thing I've ever endured, and I thought I was gonna cry.
Gosh, on the positive though, this Brittany sounds so cool and pretty and wonderful to hang out with. Ugh, she's so great. I wish.
She's so great. Henry, what do you got?
When carrying a weapon in a war, choose a weapon that maybe Britain used instead of French people, because you might be less scared to use it to kill Hitler. I would highly recommend the Lee Berther, but I'm not French, so the Lee Einfeld .303. British and Commonwealth made.
Okay, Anna, you got another one?
Don't be uncool. I'll think about it. Havana, you?
If someone asks if you're VIP, always say yes. I went on another date with Brittany.
Brittany sounds so amazing.
And we got free tickets to something, and when we came in, they were like, oh, are you the VIP guest? And I was like, there's no way I, a lowly peasant, am VIP. So I was like, I don't think so. And then they shuffled us into this room with, like, a bunch of other people that were, like, sad and quiet and cold. And then we walked back out, and the lady was like, you're VIP, aren't you? And I was like, yeah, I guess so. And then we went into a green room with all the important people.
Oh, shit. What happened in the green room?
We ate macaroons.
Oh, man.
But I believe this Brittany said you sat in on the couch of someone very important, and you were later invited onto this into the audience because they needed to give your couch to someone more important than you.
So, advice is, you might be VIP, but you're not the VIP.
Mm.
But, yeah, if someone's questioning it, if they're uncertain, it's very easy to be like, yes, I are.
Because the person who'd be asking if you are VIP is more likely to be in a lower position.
Yeah.
And they have no authority to tell someone who would claim to be VIP that they are lesser than that.
True.
On a similar note, just walk into a room like you're supposed to be there.
Oh, hell yeah. That's confidence. Mm.
God damn it. Henry, do you have another bit of advice?
If a French soldier asks you for a drop of water in fluent German, you give it to him, no matter how you feel about your water conservation and a California drought.
Anna, you got
anything? Yeah, hell yeah, I do. If you have the chance to get weird bone surgery when you're a teenager, don't say no, because you might have headaches when you're in your mid-20s.
Can you describe what kind of weird bone surgery you'd be offered as a teenager?
Oh, were they gonna give you an animanium skeleton like Wolverine?
If your face bones are just not super weird, but just a teensy bit off, and then the surgeon is like, hey, they're just a teensy bit off enough that you might have headaches in your mid-20s and beyond. And you're like, fuck you, stop trying to change who I am and make me conform to your face structure. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Don't yes. say that. Say, yes, please, surgery. Because then you hit those mid-20s and you go, oh, I got headaches. And that's it.
That's it. That's a good one. Henry, do you have any, like, final send-off advice for our listeners?
Yeah, Henry, bring it down. Bring down the house.
You've been around for a while. I feel like you've got the most to offer.
Well, I almost feel guilty for not giving this advice sooner, but if your people are being targeted in some sort of war, I believe you all might be suffering from this. Coming in the recent election, there might be someone who is targeting literally everyone except the white male, such as myself, Henry Daddy.
You go, boy.
I would recommend using this as a time to upgrade your homes, full of crawl spaces, an underground railroad of sorts, any sort of transportation that cannot be detected.
I'm into
it. That's my advice. It was literally the saving grace of most people who survived other wars.
No, that's really great. Henry Tandy, thank you so much for being on the podcast. We really enjoyed having
Honestly,
you here.
Thank you so much. It was so nice of you to come to our time.
Yeah, we're going to have to banish you back to hell.
Yeah, should we do the spell or?
Because you did let Hitler live, so.
Yeah.
You had to go to hell.
Yes, but. Hell has been rather awful.
Oh, but you're so British about it, which I appreciate.
Yeah, let's do the spell, Anna. Okay. Okay. Go
back
from whence
Prince
you
came.
Never to return.
Oh, my skin.
Again.
Oh. Henry Tandy.
Henry Tandy, Henry Tandy, Henry Tandy, Henry Tandy, Henry Tandy.
Oh no, is Henry gone?
He's gone.
Oh, I miss him already.
This pile of ashes is wearing a nice monocle, though.
Oh, buckets.
All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of Don't Take Our Word for It.
Yeah.
If you want to, if you think about us throughout the week, please submit questions, advice-related questions, to our Twitter, @ Don't Take Our Word, or our Facebook page, Don't Take Our Word for It. Or you can do it anonymously to our Tumblr @ donttakeourwordforit.tumblr.com.
Please do.
And please.
I'm sure you've got a lot going on in your mind right now. Feel free to just, if you don't have a live journal, treat us like you would treat your live journal.
I agree. And then, yeah, please check us out on iTunes, subscribe, rate 5 stars, and you can find us on SoundCloud as well. So, or your favorite podcasting app,
mm-hmm.
Whatever you want, guys. But yeah, thank you so much for listening,
thank you.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.